This is The Guardian.
Today, the life and death of Murray Dowie. How one teenager in Scotland fell victim to a sextortion scam.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
A warning before we start. This episode discusses suicide and the loss of a child.
He was really, really bright, really, really funny. He was really good company. His passions were sort of Stirling Albion in the football team. That's what he and his friends did every weekend. Sort of they'd go to all the home games and quite a lot of the away games as well. He played the guitar for a long time and just really sociable. He loved being out and about with his friends. You know, they were sort of out a lot together.
He was just a nice, easygoing kid. He was very bright. Did really well on his NAP 5s and 6s and a B. How he got a B for art, I'll never know, because he was amazing at art, but anyway. He'd everything in front of him, and he was just, you know, same as any teenager, there was difficult bits of his teenage years, you know, he could be a bit grumpy, a bit aloof, you know. But he was definitely coming out of the other side of that, you know, and it was a real blossoming into a young adult. And to lose him, just at this moment, it just seems so unfair and so bloody unnecessary.
16-year-old Murray was the victim of a very modern crime, a crime that could not have existed before the advent of smartphones. Roz and Mark, his mum and dad, had thought he was safe in his bedroom. They didn't know he would fall victim to a cruel scam, seemingly orchestrated by criminals thousands of miles away. Libby Brooks, the Guardian Scotland correspondent, went to meet them.
It was very clear to me when I was sort of discussing with them the prospect of doing this interview. They are very private people. They did not relish being interviewed. They don't relish their photographs being in the media, but they are so desperate to get this message out and to prevent other families experiencing what they have had to go through.
From The Guardian, I'm Helen Pidd. Today in Focus, the tragic consequences of sextortion scams.
It was just a really normal night. So we'd come back from my parents. We'd had our Christmas there. You know, Christmas Day we'd been in our house with Mark's family. We came back and it was just a completely normal day. So, you know, we had dinner, we were just watching rubbish on telly, chatting. He was chatting about saving up for the holiday he was planning with his friends in the summer. He was talking about going to football the next day. And then sort of he went up to his room about, I don't know, 9:30, which, you know, went to his room, that was normal. And that was the last time I saw him alive. In the morning, Mark and I, we were getting ready to go and see friends in Glasgow, and our two oldest sons weren't up yet, which wasn't unusual. It was the holidays, they were teenagers, and I'd just gone upstairs to let them know we were going to Glasgow. I saw that Murray's door was ajar with the light on, and I sort of walked in and said, "Oh, are you up?" And found him there, and he was dead. He'd obviously been dead for quite a while. It's the most awful thing I've sort of ever come across, and it was just, you know, he was fine a few hours before. It was just such a shock.
I know that it took the police quite a while to pinpoint what had actually happened,
didn't it? It was perhaps two weeks before you understood what had actually happened.
I mean, my instant reaction was, you need to get onto his phone. Something's happened. He was fine last night. And I mean, I think the police take devices as standard. Mm. I think the police quite quickly suspected there was something because, you know, they spoke to us. There was no history of depression or any mental health issues with Murray. He'd never tried anything like this before. They spoke to his friends who were absolutely flabbergasted. So the police, I think, obviously suspected. But, you know, we didn't have the code for Murray's phone. So it was 2 weeks before they got on to his phone and analysed the data. So we had 2 weeks of you know, you're questioning every single interaction you've had with your son and thinking, you know, has he been unhappy for months and we've just not noticed? And how have we missed? What have we missed? So
wondering if it was things like exam pressure, because it was right at the prelims start. It was just the most awful time just trying to understand something that was, you know, you were trying to kind of square a circle. You just could not see what had happened.
That we'd missed.
Yeah, that we'd missed, you know, that happy boy who'd gone to bed that night was dead.
And so how did the police present it to you then? When actually, what sort of evidence did they then have?
They've not given us a lot of details because obviously it is an active investigation. They just told us that, you know, there was evidence that he had been targeted that night, just that night, and it was a perpetrator in Nigeria. Mm. He was duped into thinking he was talking to a young girl and shared an intimate picture with her. And then I think as soon as he did that, it became very clear it wasn't a young girl he was speaking to. It was criminals in Nigeria who immediately started to extort, asking. I know that they asked for card details and whatever, trying to get money out of him and threatening to share the picture with all his contacts.
And knowing Murray as well as you obviously do, how can you imagine that would have affected him?
Yeah, I mean,
him?
He was very private and hated being the centre of attention. I mean, he didn't even like us telling him something was good. He hated praise. He hated being the centre of attention. So the thought that this was going to be shared with everyone he knows, I mean, it would have felt like an absolute life catastrophe to him, you know, and he didn't have the life experience to know it's not. It would have passed. It would have been a horrible couple of weeks and then everybody would have moved on to the next thing. But I mean, I think that's why they target teenage boys, because their brain development is at the stage that it's a life catastrophe. They can see no way out and they just want it to go away.
Mm. He didn't pay out any money. There was no money removed from his account at all. Wish he had.
Libby Brooks, we just heard you speaking there with Roz and Mark, and you've been reporting on sextortion cases for quite a few months now. Can you just explain to us exactly what sextortion is?
According to the National Crime Agency in the UK, it is financially motivated sexual extortion. And they want to be explicit about the fact that this is not something that is sexually motivated. It's not about grooming young people for some form of online abuse. It is with a very specific financial motivation. And certainly speaking to agencies in the UK, the United States and Australia, they are all confirming that this crime is rising sharply. And the key thing about it is that it is teenage boys and young adult males who are typically the victims. And in terms of what actually happens to these boys, there is a really similar progression whereby you start off with a chat online or an invitation to chat from somebody who's maybe claiming to be a friend of a friend. Starts off quite flirty, but then very quickly, as soon as they have something that they can use, it then escalates into these demands for money.
And it's interesting that you say that it's particularly young boys and young men that are being targeted. Do you know why that might be, boys over girls?
It is really interesting, isn't it? It was the Internet Watch Foundation brought out its latest report just a couple of weeks ago. And in terms of cases of sextortion, it was 91% boys compared with those sort of other more sexually motivated online grooming offences, which were the majority girls. You know, young people and I think young lads in particular are targeted because they're vulnerable, they're just at a point where their sexuality is emerging, they're exploring and sort of pushing the boundaries of intimacy, and they're really easy to shame. And also, because they are so young, they have no sense that this will not ruin and define their lives. They don't have the life experience to recognise that this is actually something that may be a big thing for a few weeks, but will then pass as all things do. And so they get seized by that panic that Murray did, and sometimes with really devastating consequences.
And, you know, teenagers don't have very much money. So why are they going after them particularly, do you think?
I know. I mean, that's a question that is often asked, but I think that is just evidence of the scale of these operations. The amounts of money that I've heard of young people being asked for, it's Amazon gift cards, it's, you know, sort of tens of pounds and hundreds, but it's incremental. And when you are operating on the scale that these gangs are, then clearly it adds up over time. There have been reports of criminals making millions of pounds out of this, always in very small amounts, but obviously it adds up eventually.
And have there been any other victims that we know of in the UK in addition to Murray?
Yes, there have, sadly. There was a case in February, there was an inquest in South London into the death of a 16-year-old called Dinal de Alwis. He killed himself after being blackmailed over nude photographs. And obviously that is the extreme end of this crime, but we can safely say that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of young people being targeted across the UK. Recently, Scotland figures suggested that this kind of offending has almost doubled over the last 2 years.
Right.
And the FBI in the States obviously have recorded a tenfold increase since 2021. We had police in Australia, in New South Wales, saying that there'd been a nearly 400% increase in sextortion cases over the last 18 months. So this is increasing exponentially. It's happening across the world, and young people are dying.
They're just absolutely broken, you know, shattered. I don't know how we move forward from this. You know, you just sort of take that one day at a time, and everybody keeps saying, you know, you just have to find a new normal and your life will grow around your grief. But I can't imagine ever being over this. It's just losing a child is the worst thing you could ever imagine happening to you. So it's happened. And then for it to happen in such an awful, you know, such a pointless way, it's sort of, it would be bad enough if he just had an accident, you know, hit by a car. But for this, it was such a pointless thing to take his own life. I mean, nothing is worth taking your own life for. And you know, children need to understand that whatever you're feeling right now, you're not going to feel that forever. But, you know, obviously they don't because of the age and stage they're at. But yeah, I you know, you've got all the what ifs, if only we'd done this. I don't know if that's ever going to go away, but at the moment, I don't see how life's ever going to be normal or okay ever again.
Yeah, I think, it's seeing a future without Muzz and one that works in the context of the family, because, you know, Muzz was the middle of the three boys. He was very much the glue. So that's going to be difficult to sort out, you know. I can't imagine not having them, but I don't. Yeah.
Libby, from your conversation with Murray's parents, did they tell you anything about Murray that would have made him particularly vulnerable to this sort of horror? Had they been concerned about Murray's phone use? Like, was he a street smart kind of boy?
Absolutely. I mean, again, this is the irony of it, that he was an outdoorsy kid. He was not glued to his phone the whole time.
Yeah. I think it's probably fair to say that Murray was slightly dismissive of social media. It wasn't a big part of his life. I think it's fair to say. I'm not saying, of course, he was on it, and all teenagers are, but, you know, I see some teenagers out there and it becomes kind of the be-all and end-all. It most certainly wasn't that for Murray.
I mean, he wasn't a kid that was glued to his phone. We'd spoken lots about the dangers of social media, and you know, we'd had those talks, and I've sort of always, you know, warned that you don't know who you're speaking to, and as soon as you share a picture, it's out in the public domain. So we'd had those chats. It's not like we didn't talk. We were a very open family. You know, our kids have come to us when they've had different issues and there's been no repercussions. So, you know, that's the hardest thing to deal with, that he didn't just come through. But having looked into the issue of sextortion, these scammers are relentless in the messages they're saying, and they just get the kids into such a frenzied panic.
What do the family know about the criminals who targeted Murray?
Because of the ongoing nature of the investigation, they don't know a great deal. But we can say that Police Scotland are currently cooperating with authorities in Nigeria. And we do know more broadly that a lot of these cyber criminal gangs that work around this kind of extortion are based in the west of Africa and also in Southeast Asia.
But the investigation's ongoing, is it? So nobody's been charged yet?
No.
I appreciate that this is a live investigation, so it may be that you're just not able to sort of speak to it at the moment. But I just wonder if you have kind of any optimism that charges might be brought or there might be some sort of extradition.
I don't know. We're at the moment, we're waiting for the data from the social media. Companies that have been requested, there is a preservation order, so they can't delete that, but they've not given us the information yet. They say that's because there's such a backlog of requests from, you know, police forces across the world. So that's another thing, you know, given the billions of profit they're making, I think they could invest in a decent sized team to serve those requests and get the data to the police that are investing these crimes as quickly as possible. It's also sitting with the Nigerian authorities, so we need to them to do some investigation in Nigeria. So I'm hopeful they will do that. I would have hoped it would have happened by now, but, you know, it's a different legal system. I would like the UK and Scottish governments to do everything they can for Murray, because he is a Scottish and a British citizen. If America can be pushing at the FBI or heavily involved, I would like Britain to start doing the same, because I think there has to be a really clear message to these perpetrators that you think you're anonymous thousands of miles away, but, you know, these countries will come after you and there are consequences for what you're doing, not only to punish them, but to deter others from thinking it's just easy cash and it doesn't matter what happens to the victims.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we've always got hope that, yeah, justice will be done for Murray, for our family. I think it's time goes on, it's becoming harder to maintain that hope, but we'll keep going. And, you know, I think Police Scotland have been fantastic with us. I think let's hope that there is something that comes out of this process.
Libby, you mentioned that a lot of the cyber criminals who are carrying out these kinds of crimes are often based in the West of Africa or Southeast Asia. And that must make it really difficult, like A, for law enforcement agencies to catch them, and B, to actually bring them to justice. Have there been any successful prosecutions?
Yes, Helen, you're absolutely right. It is incredibly difficult to pursue these criminals. I mean, I remember the case of Daniel Petty, who was a 17-year-old who killed himself again after falling prey to this kind of online extortion. And there was an attempt to extradite his scammers from, I think it was the Philippines, but that ended up being unsuccessful. Yeah. I mean, certainly, I should say, in recent years, it looks like there have been more successful extradition attempts. So, for example, last year, in August 2023, we saw two Nigerian men extradited to the States facing charges in relation to the online extortion and then suicide of a 17-year-old boy called Jordan Dembey.
What do we know about how these gangs operate?
It seems to be that they throw out, you know, thousands of lines in the hope that, you know, a few people will pick them up. We've certainly have seen reporting of people, for example, hacking into different social media accounts and then sort of posing as the young girls to then get in touch with their contacts and encourage them to send intimate images.
Right, okay, so they're not just making up fake social media accounts, they're actually hacking the accounts of real teenage girls and posing as them in order to trick boys that perhaps these girls know in real life.
I think that that is certainly one way that, that they do things, but they are also simply sort of posing as made up characters as well.
And do we have a sense of the script maybe that they use in order to trick these teenagers?
It does seem to be sort of incredibly formulaic. There will be, you know, very quickly what starts off as quite a flirty conversation will then sort of go to, I'd like to send you this picture. Are you going to send me yours? And then sort of ratchets up to the extortion. You know, once they've got them, they absolutely bombard the victim with messages telling them that they're going to ruin their lives, that they're going to make this photograph go viral. It will be all across the world. Their family will see it. They're going to send it to their school. They threaten them about the fact that they won't be accepted into college or university. They won't get a job
because of this photograph.
Yeah. I know. From the Jordan DeMay case that I mentioned earlier, we have some examples of the text that, that he was sent. One of them read, I have screenshot all your followers and tags and can send this nudes to everyone. And so send your nudes to your family and friends until it goes viral. All you've got to do is cooperate with me and I won't expose you. Are you going to cooperate with me? Just pay me right now and I won't expose you.
Coming up, how possible is it to stop the scammers?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Libby, have any actions been taken in the UK to stop sextortion?
Yes, actually, just last week, the National Crime Agency sent out an alert to nearly 500,000 educators across the UK, warning them about this increase in sextortion and talking to them about, you know, how they can then talk to young people about it. I was speaking to the NCA before they sent out the alert. It was actually, it's a pretty unprecedented thing that they did. They've never done a sort of collective action with educators like this before. And they really described this as an emerging threat that is increasing across the world.
And what about the social media companies in themselves, whether it's Instagram or Snapchat? Are they doing anything to combat sextortion?
They are already involved in the UK in an online tool called Report Remove, which can be used by under 18s anonymously to report an image or a video that, that they're concerned about. And that will be placed on a watch list, which is used by all of those main social media players. Instagram are actually going to be testing some new tools, which is going to include nudity protection, which blurs out naked images in direct messages and will be turned on by default for under 18s. And I think, as importantly, they're also going to be using these pop-ups that come up when they feel that there's an alert that somebody might be a potential victim of this kind of extortion, saying, you know, don't feel pressured to respond and advising them. I think it'll be really interesting to see how those sorts of tools work.
Mm.
But from Roz and Mark, there is a feeling that these companies are continuing to make millions and not really pulling their weight in terms of what else they could be doing.
Social media companies need to be better regulated, because this is a child protection and safeguarding concern. There's no other sector or industry that would be allowed to be doing things that are actually causing young people to die and get away with it. But it's really basic things as well. There can be no innocent reason that I can think of for somebody in Nigeria sending out thousands of friend requests to young people in the Western world, or sitting behind a single IP address in Nigeria but running multiple social media accounts from that one IP address. There's no innocent reason for that, and that's really easy to detect. So there's just really basic things they could do.
I think social media platforms should be obligated to ensure that children's contact details are not public. They are private by default, and therefore I think that would pretty much put to bed the ability of scammers to work in this field. It's a very, very obvious and very easy fix that's been available to the social media companies for a long, long time, and they haven't done it. And we're losing kids because of it. And this is about their profits, in my opinion. It's not about online safety. And I think they should be held to account on that basis.
What do Murray's family believe the solutions could be? Do they have any idea what can be done to stop other families suffering like they have?
Well, I think what they are really keen to see is more awareness raising in schools and from the police.
It can't be a soft message. I think it has to really be a message that hits home to the kids, because, you know, they're teenagers. They think they know best. They think adults know nothing. But, you know, I think they have to realise that this is a real issue and people are dying. But, you know, I don't think that sextortion is spoken about explicitly in school. I think, you know, there is online safety, but I think it has to be much more specific because, I mean, this is growing exponentially. The statistics from America are quite frightening. So I think the problem is with schools, they have to wait for the local authorities to put this in the curriculum. I think it has to happen now. We can't wait around for somebody up high to start teaching this. I think schools need to start teaching it now to young people from a young age. There's I think there's been victims as young as 13. It's not something that's just hitting 16, 17 year olds. I think I would like to see a national campaign of awareness going.
Did they have any advice for other families on anything that they could do to protect their children?
It sounds like the Dowies were a very open family. They were already talking to their kids about the sorts of dangers online that they could encounter. But Mark made a really interesting point toward the end of our chat.
We can't remember who said it, but, you know, we're very good as parents at telling kids not to do stuff, but we're not so good at telling them what to do if they do it, you know,
happens.
And something happens and it goes wrong, you know, how do they cope with that, you know? We were 6 feet away from this happening. There's Murray's room, there's a stairwell, there's our bedroom, 6 feet away, and he just needed to come through. His big brother was probably awake through this because he likes to play the Xbox still, the wee small hours. So the chances are Ryan was awake in the next room to him when this happened. So it is about putting the phone down. It is about walking away from it. It is about saying to somebody, this has happened to me. What the hell do I do? You know, this is insidious. It comes into your home. I think, you know, Murray went to bed and this happened to him in his own room, in his own bed. And it can happen to literally anybody.
I mean, this has just been the worst thing that could have happened to us as a family. And I don't want any other family to go through that. So, you know, we were just a completely normal, happy, loving family that got, you know, your life is absolutely shattered in the space of a few hours. If it could happen to Murray, it could happen to anybody. Yeah. And it's just to get that message out that you must speak to your children and be open and make them aware of these really real dangerous, with awful consequences, you know, fatal consequences.
My thanks to Roz and Mark Dowie and the Guardian Scotland correspondent Libby Brooks. You can read her reporting on this awful case at theguardian.com. If you've been affected by anything in this episode, you can contact the Samaritans on 0330 094 5717 or www.samaritans.org. This episode was produced by Natalie Katena and it was presented by me, Helen Pidd. Sound design was by Solomon King. The executive producer was Elizabeth Cassin. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.